Lord God, this is your word. It is truth unchanged and unchanging. Help us now receive it as your word, believe it as your revelation, understand it by your spirit, and embrace it by faith. We ask in Jesus' name for your glory and our good. Amen. Amen. Well, last Tuesday, Liz and I went to our daughter's school for a sports awards evening. And if we could have the PowerPoint up, Sahel, that would be brilliant. There was a guest speaker, and he was an international athlete. And there's a picture of him here on an international event in Finland. And as he spoke about his story, he spoke about his sporting background, it became clear he was no normal, ordinary athlete. You see, he had had a kidney transplant when he was in his early 20s, and he had come back from that to become an international transplant games athlete. And the transplant games were held here in Birmingham last year, and he won, I think, 3 medals at that event here in Birmingham. And he showed us the medals. He had a whole sort of handful of medals, and you could just tell that the kids were transfixed by hearing from this inspirational speaker, an athlete who had overcome all kinds of things to become the person that he was today. And he went on to give 10 tips to the students, ways that they could improve or get better in their sports and in their sporting future. And I'm not going to tell you all 10 of them, but the first one that he said was this. He said, never stop playing sport. You're never too old to play sport. I took that as an encouragement to continue. But he also said, winning isn't everything. And to be grateful for the support that you have as your parents are here with you, supporting you tonight, and so on. But he went through his 10 tips, his 10 encouragements for these students, 10 words, if you like, for a sporting people. And you could see the students were really transfixed by everything that this guy had to say. Well, here in chapter 19 and 20 of Exodus, the second book of the Bible, we have words not for a sporting people, but for a desert people. I've called this words for a desert people. From Exodus chapter 19 is where we're going to focus. Because this is, as on Tuesday night, these words are set within a bigger story, an inspirational story that we've been looking at over these past few weeks, the big story of the Bible. And we began, if you remember, with Noah and the flood. We heard about the pain that God suffers when he sees human sin. We heard of God's provision of a way out. And we saw God's promise that he would deal differently with sin from now on. And then we saw Abraham and the promise that God made to Abraham, that he would have a great nation, that he would have a land, that he would be a blessing to all peoples. We saw with the action team that Joseph, now in Egypt with God's people, knew God's presence in that land. But as time went by, there was a new ruler of Egypt, a new Pharaoh, and he knew nothing of Joseph. He knew nothing of the story, and so he mistreated God's people. And as we read last week, God called his people out of Egypt, and we had the crossing of the Red Sea and that miraculous rescue that we read and heard of last week. And we had Exodus chapter 14 and verse 14, which has chimed with quite a few people in the last week. God saying, do not be afraid. Stand firm. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. Exodus 14, 14. But today, this is another pivotal moment in this big story. It's one which echoes through the whole Bible. And as I was reading those Ten Commandments, I wonder what was going through your mind, because these are words that are very familiar, even to people who have nothing else to do or very little knowledge of church or of the Bible or of Christianity. This would be a passage that they might say, oh yeah, I recognize that. I've heard those words before. Well, this is a moment in this story that is so very, very significant. Now, back in May and June of this year, we had a whole series of sermons about the Ten Commandments here at church. And if you would like to go back and listen to them again, they're all on the church website. You can find them and listen to them. So this morning, I'm not going to spend much time on the detail of the Ten Commandments. What I want to do is to look at where they fit within the big story, the big picture of the Bible, and what we can learn, today about God, about God's people, and about God and his relationship with his people for us this morning. What do these words for a desert people have to say to us here at Harborne Baptist Church this morning? And there's just three things that I want to look at. Firstly, this might seem obvious, but these words, the people who hear these words are in the desert. The people are in the desert. In chapter 19 and verse 2, we get the context for these commandments being given. This is 3 months after leaving Egypt. And the people, as I've said, have crossed over the Red Sea. And now they come to Mount Sinai. And they're camping out in the desert at the foot of this mountain. They're going to be here for almost a year, all the way through the rest of the book of Exodus, all the way into Leviticus, right up to Numbers chapter 10. The people of God are camping in this desert. Now, what does it mean to be in the desert? Well, for this people, it means that they have left the place of slavery. They have left Egypt where there was no hope. There was no promise. There was nothing for them. They were mistreated and abused and kept as slaves. And they've left that place. And they've come and they are traveling towards the promised land that God has promised to them. But here's the thing. They're not there yet. They've left Egypt, but they're not yet in the promised land. They're in the desert, in the place in between. They've left slavery, but they're not yet quite at the place that God has called them to be. And in the desert, or the desert, can be a hard place to be. If we flick back, we're not going to now, but if you do get a chance later to look back into the chapters between the crossing of the Red Sea and this one today, you'll see there is a lot of pain. The Israelites, the people of God, complain a lot. They grumble. They come to Moses. They say, "What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink?" They disobey the rules they've been given, and they moan and they complain and they grumble. And we need to remind ourselves maybe that these are God's people, and yet they're grumbling and complaining and moaning. And here is a consistent thing that they say. This is a consistent thing they say. We were better off back there in Egypt. At least in Egypt we had drink. At least in Egypt we had food. At least in Egypt we had a home. Not like here in the desert. And they complain and they moan. You see, the words of Exodus 20 are spoken to a people in the desert. They've left slavery, but they're yet to arrive in their true home. Well, what does that have to do with us here this morning at Harborne Baptist Church? Well, in the New Testament of the Bible, we find language that is very similar to describe our experience as Christians. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11 says this, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles," or aliens and strangers, "to abstain from sinful desires." We're called aliens, strangers, in this place that we're at now. Or Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14 says this, "For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come, the day that is to come, where we will be with God, and he will be our God, and we will be his people." You see, there's a sense that we too are in the desert. We've left slavery and sin, and we've known, if we're followers of Jesus, we know freedom from the things that used to hold on to us. We know freedom, and we know life and hope and purpose. But we are not yet at the promised land that God has called us to. We're not yet in a place where we're completely together with God. And in a sense, Being in the deserts can be a hard place to be. When you're stood by the hospital bed, being in the desert can be a hard place. When a phone call comes with bad news, when you have a flat tire, when you have people around your house unwelcome, when you've been let down by a friend, when you've received bad news personally, it can be a hard place to be in the desert. And it can be easy when you're in this desert place, like these people that we read of here, to look back. To look back at the place that we've come from and to think things were better back then. And to yearn for the things that we enjoyed, forgetting that we were slaves back then. Because it can be hard. It can be a hard place to be in the desert. And maybe there's a reminder for us this morning to be gracious with one another, to understand one another, that we are in this in-between place. You know, when Liz and I first went to Thailand with BMS in 2004, we were invited to our first ever missionary conference, and we were so excited. It's going to be like heaven. These missionaries, they're not only Christians, they're missionaries. It's going to be absolutely wonderful. It'll be amazing. We got there, and the reality was, people argued, and people grumbled about the food, and people complained about the bedrooms, and people were upset and moaning about all sorts of things, and we were so disappointed. But maybe we should have just read our Bibles more carefully and realized that we're here in this desert place. We've left slavery. We're not quite at the promised land yet. The people are in the desert when they hear these words, and the desert can be a hard place to be. But here's the good news this morning, that despite the people complaining and grumbling, and despite our complaining and our grumbling, God still has words to speak to them. And I want us just to look at briefly a summary of the words that God speaks to his people in Exodus chapter 19, because God calls Moses to him in verse 3, and God goes to Moses, and God tells him what he is to speak to the people. And there's many words here, but I want to summarize them and to sum them up in two short, quite simple phrases. And the first one is this. This is what God says to his people in the desert. The first thing he says, you are loved. Exodus chapter 19, verse 4. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. God reminds us that he has rescued his people from that place of slavery back in Egypt. God has carried them like a mother with a baby on eagle's wings. From slavery into freedom, God in his grace has reached down to bless his people. And we ask the question, why? Why has God chosen these people? Well, as we've already talked about, it's not because of their goodness. It's not because they're perfect people. Even the headliners, even the heroes are flawed. We saw Noah with his drunkenness, we saw Moses, we saw Abraham with his lying, even Moses. You know Moses, the hero of this story? When God first called Moses, you know what Moses said? Moses said, here I am, send someone else. He didn't want to follow what God was calling him to do at all. This is not a story of human achievement. This is not like the stories that Mr. Giles was telling on the Tuesday night sports event. This is not about great success, hard work, human endeavor, about inspiring characters. No, this story is about something different. There's only one character who's consistent in this story, who's faithful, who's good, who's praiseworthy, and that character is God. At the end of the day, this story, this big story, it's a story of God. You will be my treasured possession, is what this God speaks to his people. To this grumbling, arguing, disobeying people, he says to them, you are loved. If you obey me, he says, but actually he's already acted to love them, to rescue them. You will be my treasured possession. You are loved. And I'm going to make a covenant. That's a formal agreement with you. And we've come across a few covenants so far in this story. We've seen the covenant with Noah, where God promises, I will never do this again. There's a rainbow as the sign. We saw the covenant with Abraham, where God promises land and nation and to be a blessing. And the sign there was the circumcision of the males. And I just noticed this yesterday. You see, this covenant with all God's people through Moses, the sign of this covenant is the Sabbath. The first time we find Sabbath is here in these words. And who is it that's going to be involved in Sabbath? Men. Remember, the circumcision was the men. But now, men and women. Young and old. Slaves and free. Jewish people and foreigners. This is for all. This covenant that God makes with his people through Moses. And it is based on, absolutely based on, this statement. You are loved. You know, the first commandment begins like this. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. We can't leave the first bit out. Because God says first, you are loved. And therefore, have no other gods. You are loved, and so love. Because you're loved, love God. Have no other gods before me. Don't make idols. Don't misuse my name. Keep the Sabbath day holy. You're loved, so love in response. And of course, that's what Jesus summarized these commandments as, wasn't it? When he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God. In Matthew 23:22. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. You are loved. And it's a message for the people in the desert. And it's a message for us here this morning at Harborne Baptist Church. To hear that from God. You are loved. And in response, love. Love God. Love your neighbor. The second thing that God tells his people in Exodus 19 and verse 6. You, although the whole earth is mine, says God, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Not only are you loved, but you are blessed. Out of all of the earth, it's all God's, this people will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Set aside for God, a kingdom, a priestly kingdom, called and appointed. And friends, this is a powerful blessing, a wonderful privilege, one which we're going to trace through the story as we go on to Kings and Samuel and the prophets in the coming weeks. But let's just notice here before we leave this part of the story that this blessing is very specific. You will be for me a kingdom of priests. What does it mean to be a kingdom of priests? In the Old Testament, a priest was one who stood in between God and the people. And yet here, all of them are to be priests, the kingdom of priests. This is a call for God's people to represent God to the other nations. To be like a priest for God to the other nations around them. To show other nations who God is. To tell the story of God. To act justly and love mercy and walk humbly. To be a blessing to all peoples. You see, when God says you are blessed, it doesn't end there. You are blessed to be a blessing to others. And this is where looking at the big story is so wonderful, because that is the promise that back in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, God had already made to Abraham. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. You're blessed to be a blessing. And this in Exodus chapter 20 is how you're going to do that. Honor your mother and your father. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Don't covet. And when you, as God's people, live together like this, you will bless others. You'll shine like lights in the darkness. You'll live a different way of life, and it will be obvious. Why do these people honor their elders? Why do these people not suffer from the violence that other societies do? Why are their families strong and healthy? You're blessed to be a blessing. And these aren't small-minded restrictions on your personal liberty, these commandments. They're the building blocks of a way of life that honors God and blesses others. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is the divine plan, that we are blessed to be a blessing. God has not blessed us as a church with these buildings so that we can be comfortable on a Sunday morning. I don't believe. I think God has blessed us with these buildings so that we can be a blessing to this community and the people around us. That he's called us to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. Not one or two people, not just the minister and the deacon and whoever's playing in the worship group, but all of us, a kingdom of priests. And so let me finish with this question for you. These words are spoken to you, to each one of us. You are loved and you're blessed. You're blessed to be a blessing. So here's the question. How will you be a blessing to others this week? How will you be a blessing to others this week? We heard the video Ashley talking about someone who posted her PG tips, posting her tea bags, and the blessing that that was to her. Is there somebody that you could, you know, maybe actually send tea bags to, or, you know, something else perhaps for their situation? Somebody around you here at church, someone who's a neighbor, a friend, a family member, a phone call, a text message, an email, a visit this week that would be a blessing to others. This is a home group week. How are we going to bless one another in our home groups at the place of welcome here on Tuesday? You see, these words were spoken for a desert people. The people are in the desert, and perhaps we know that experience. Perhaps we have felt that this past week. Well, let's hear those words from God to us today. You are loved and you are blessed. And because you are loved, love in response. Love God, love your neighbor. Because you are blessed, be a blessing to somebody this coming week. We're going to respond as we sing our final hymn this morning. And Sylvia's going to help us. The hymn is number 418. O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end.